Monday, August 28, 2017, Dakota County Board of Equalization meeting at 3 o'clock, Dakota County Board of Commissioners meeting at 3:02.
Is it hot in here?
A little bit.
I just want to make sure it wasn't on the stroke. Did my face start drooping or something? Shut me in the health department.
Okay. It is 3:00. We'll call the Dakota County Board of Equalization to order. We'll start with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Kevin?
Here.
Marty?
Yep.
Bill?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Tony?
Here.
Okay, a current copy of the Open Meetings Act is posted on the west wall near the entrance of the County Board meeting room and is available for review by all citizens in attendance. We will start with the consent agenda items and approval of the previous minutes for July 28th of 2017.
We couldn't hear what you guys talking. All right, thank you. Thank you. Public comments coming up. So moved on the consent agenda items for the...
Thank you.
Yes, you're welcome.
Second.
Marty?
Yes.
Bill?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Tony?
Yes.
Kevin?
Yes. Okay, new business. We'll review the property valuation protest on the corrected parcels by considering all papers relating to the protests. Jeff? You look confused. What do you got for us?
That would have sucked.
Here.
Is that okay for everyone?
Sure.
Thanks, Kevin.
Yep.
This one here was a double wide trailer, so it was on the stick belt depreciation, so they switched the depreciation over to table 4. So there should have been a reduction, it looks like. 57 down to 44, I think. Yep.
Okay.
So do we need to do each parcel individually, Kim, or? No?
I think we can just, there's only a few. And
okay.
If we only went out and saw 4, then we can just, unless we find one we disagree with. Looks like the second one was for a Patrick Crow. This is over either on Brentwood or Crescent, I believe.
Brentwood.
Ron took a drive out by that one. He pulled some sales, and I believe the referee recommendation on that one was he did not believe there needed to be a change for anything. He put some comments down there about he did a sales study on it, and he's thinking that's a neighborhood we have to look at. That should be.
It's a nice neighborhood. That's a nice home.
Yeah, should be closer to the 2. So that kind of got flagged for next year. So that was the referee's recommendation.
So he's saying
it's leave it the same.
Probably.
Yeah, he said we don't.
Probably lower than it should be.
Yeah, home already. Yeah. I got another Joanne Weber. This is Ryan Lowry. This was another one. The referee's recommendation was new change over on 31st Street. I believe he looked at it, looked at a previous purchase price. I think that home was actually originally purchased for $205,000 and it's at $198,000. So that's kind of well within that ratio. So he recommended not to do anything different with that one. This one, I believe, is over in Southridge, if I can find it here.
It's the non-Southridge drive.
This is an equalization deal, not... Yeah, he said there was an equalization problem, so the referees recommended a reduction to 236-160. So, in fact, what he wanted. And I think there was some other parcels over there that have to be fixed.
But that reduction is equalized with the neighborhood?
The whole neighborhood, it's kind of on the equalization for this one. It is probably going to end up being too low at 236. The 258 to 262 number is probably right. Mm-hmm. But there's a couple more parcels over there that did not get picked up. So they were down at that square foot price. So on those, if you don't lower them and we try to go to Turk, then you lose on equalization because Turk's going to take the lowest one in that neighborhood and say, well, if his square foot's only 140, yours is 160, we're going to change that one down to 140. So he just recommended lowering them to equalize them with those other two. If everybody would have protested on that, then they would have done more. But that's only one protest in that particular section. Okay. I don't know what you got here. I think this is Dennis Bosquet, I believe. Yeah, Dennis. So this is out there off of Old Highway 20, back up to his place. He does have a low-lying area kind of on one end of his lots there. But it doesn't hold water all the time, so we didn't have enough of a reason to actually change a functional or an economic on the parcel. It couldn't be supported mathematically. So his recommendation, I believe, is to leave it the same. Leave it the same. There's one more?
Yeah. Not open.
She is down on the river over there by Jackson. Trying to find the reference. Oh, here it is. And I believe when this one here was his recommendation was to do no change. Yeah, but he reviewed. I don't know if he drove out to this one or if he did a desktop review on this one because we'd already sent the guys out there last year, so we had all the new pictures. So I'm thinking you looked at last year's pictures and did a desktop review this year and review that against some of the other people down there along the river and some of the Turk stuff we've already done this year on it and decided to leave it alone and keep it equalized with everybody else. And those are all of their recommendations on those.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Jeff.
Yep.
I guess, did anybody see anything out of there to not go with the referee's recommendations?
I would move to go with the referee's recommendation on these six parcels.
I'll second.
Bill?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Tony?
Yes.
Kevin?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep.
Okay.
Okay, next business is Jeff to present the report of clerical errors for us to review and correct the assessment of undervalue or overvalued property.
We're clean. We don't have any for this meeting.
Wonderful.
Yep.
Good. Okay, great. And our next is to go into closed session to discuss negotiations on tax equalization and the review commission TURC case 16R-0044 Don Miller.
Okay, I'll make a motion to go into closed session for TURC case the 16R-0044 Don Miller.
To discuss negotiations.
Mm-hmm.
Scott?
Yes.
Tony?
Yes.
Kevin?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep.
Bill.
Yes.
Okay.
Can you close the door, Jeff?
Thank you, Bill.
Jeff can stay in here at home.
All right. He can stay in here.
We are
in.
Yep. We are in closed session to discuss the negotiations on TURC case 16R-0044 Don Miller.
Yeah, so we do it.
Okay. We will be out of closed
session. I'll make a motion to come out of closed session.
Okay. One second.
Tony?
Yes.
Kevin?
Yes.
Marty?
Yes.
Bill?
Yes.
Scott.
Yes. We're a little testy today. I don't know what's going on.
I didn't hear him.
We're good?
All right, we're out of closed session for the negotiations on case 16R-0044. Our next is to approve or deny the county attorney to offer a settlement negotiation in TURC case 16R-0044 Don Miller.
I would move to approve the county attorney to settle the negotiation in the TURC case number 16R-0044 Don Miller.
I second Bill's motion.
Kevin?
Yes.
Marty?
Yes.
Bill?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Tony?
Yes.
All right, that's the end of the new business. Do we have any mail and or emergency business for the Board of Equalization? No? Okay, we'll move on to public comment for the Board of Equalization. There's no public comment, so we will adjourn at 3:15.
Okay, we're going to call the Dakota County Board of Commissioners to order here. Will you call roll, please, Joan? 3:15.
Scott?
Yes.
Tony?
Yes.
Kevin?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep.
Bill?
Yes.
Okay, a current copy of the Open Meeting Act is posted on the west wall near the entrance of the county boardroom and is review for anybody that cares to follow along. We're going to go right into consent agenda items. We got A, the approval of the previous minutes, August 14th and 17th. The approval of the payroll claims and accounts payables. I went through them all. They're all in order. And D, the approval of the official report, the clerk's, Register of D's clerk of district court. So I need a motion for the consent agenda items.
So move to accept the consent agenda items from A to D.
Okay, we got a motion by Tony and a second by Marty. Will you call roll, please, Joan?
Tony?
Yes.
Kevin?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep.
Bill?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes. New business. We got Natalie and Erica from the Wellness Mercy Business Health Service to present the screening report. I looked at the report. It's awesome. And it would have been better if I would have been on it. Okay, next year I'm going to get on it, or next time you guys do it.
Yeah.
We're going to change that thing to a B.
Let's do that.
Let's do that. You guys want to come up and state your name and all your good stuff for the record? And
awesome.
Thank you for coming.
Yes. I'm Natalie Olandani Hughes.
And I'm Erica Bonstead.
Okay.
Okay, so going through this, the first thing I want to point out is we are down 23% of participation from the previous year. So yes, we like to compare, but when we do it and there's so much of a difference, it's really hard to take one year and compare it to the next.
Yeah, when you have that many people that are down, it's pretty tough to do, right?
Yes. So 71% were females and 29% of the participants were males. So if you look at the previous year, we were at 31, and this year we were at 24 who actually completed the screening. Our high was back in 2013, which was at 33 employees. Okay, so that's on the employer solutions. I'll just kind of run down through that. The aggregate will take everything into a little bit more depth for you guys if you want to check that out. So your overall score was a B-. It did go up from 2016. It was at a C+. Our average score at Mercy Business Health between all of the partners that we do is a 2.75, so you're for the average of what we do.
But if you'd have thrown those other 20-some people in there, what could have took place?
It could have gone good or bad. It really just depends on the screening results.
I understand.
So it'd be nice to have everybody.
And we've talked about the board trying to make it mandatory where everybody, you know, participates into this.
Yes. And it's free. Well,
for the employees, yeah, because we pay for it. The county does. But,
but it is free. So, I mean, unless there was a way to know that all these other people are going to some provider somewhere else, but the bigger concern is, are these employees going to a doctor anywhere?
They don't want to know.
Yes.
Typically, do the healthier people sign up for this?
Lots of times, yes. Yeah. So our top areas of concern were weight management and our cholesterol.
Wait, look at me for. Bill looked at me. I don't appreciate that. Okay, everybody see that?
You were looking at me.
No, okay, we were looking at each other, all right?
Our areas of the greatest opportunity for improvement are the weight management, because we were at a C- or 1.7 if we were looking at a GPA score. 70.8% of the participants have a BMI of 25 or greater, which is considered an obese category.
But you know what, though? Whoever puts these scores together, okay? I mean, seriously, if somebody's 5'9", they're supposed to weigh 150 pounds.
Yes, yep.
I mean, come on.
Yep. Which is why we have in plan for Joan, we are bringing our in-body composition machine, which is going to actually judge you on body fat percent, which is way more accurate.
Yes, that's the way it should be done.
Everybody needs to sign up for that.
Well, I'm kind of chiseled.
I do agree with you, though. Yes, the BMI is hard to judge off of, but to an extent.
We're old, Bill, right?
I was about the right weight when I was 16.
Right, exactly. I mean,
The next area of concern was our cholesterol risk. We had a B-. This is down from 2016. We were at... Yes, we're at 303. So we went down a little. As we dive into that, we will say we did take note a lot of people coming had meals the night before that they probably would not normally have. So we had people who were like, oh, I just had Chinese food last night and I never eat Chinese. Or I just went out to the bar and I had some drinks and I had some wings and I had some pizza. So that is going to affect the cholesterol specifically. We also did have people, our blood sugar actually improved, which I was kind of surprised, but that's good because we had so many people coming in and were like, I just had a cupcake for breakfast and stuff like that. So this is still good. This is still good. So 58.3% of participants were below the idea score of 100. So glucose of 100 and under is what we want to see. And 53% of your participants were still under that. So that was good. That was an improvement. Our smoking was one that was a little different. Last year you guys were at a 3.61 GPA with a B+. You were at a 90.3%, and the norm is an 87.2. So that was really good. This year, the norm is that 87.2, but we dropped to a 75%. So I don't know if people didn't say they smoked last year, or the people that came this time just happened to majority be smokers. But that was kind of a a flag there just to notice such a huge difference in that. Because I doubt at this age you're just picking up smoking all of a sudden. So I'm not sure there. Otherwise, for the most part, that's the review of it. Like I said, this color copy is going to dive into that stuff a little bit more for you guys. For going forward, honestly, the more that we can get to participate, the better it would be.
We're going to need to discuss that and maybe have that agenda item to see if we can make that, a mandated option to have everybody come in to do it. I think it's a great idea. And I know that, I think it was through, Mercy when you guys came about a couple months ago and you did the screening for the veins or whatever?
Mm-hmm.
Was that through these guys?
Yeah.
Okay, which was a joke. It was a joke, okay, which I don't think it was defined thoroughly that we wanted the full giddy up job done with the ankles and the, where the cardiologist looks at it. They just had a couple women set up. Was you here? Okay, you look familiar. But anyways, they just ran some stuff over your neck just to make sure, make sure you had no blockage.
Oh, was that a carotid? That would have been the hospital.
Was it?
Was that? Yes.
But the time before, I think we.
It was a little more. It was more thorough.
A little more thorough.
Okay.
And it made a difference by us doing that. And I don't know what it cost us to do that. The difference in between the two.
And we offered a full blood panel as well, but we didn't have people sign up for it, and then it's a way higher charge for you guys if we have to bring out those employees for only 5 people.
And I understand that, but I think if we can kind of make this thing mandated and if we can make it easier on our insurance or save a life or whatever the case may be, and I think that happened last time around when we did this. I mean, it did. So and I thought that was going to happen again, and obviously that didn't take place. It was. In the same formality, but it was a little bit.
Body scan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyways, that's another story, another day. But I appreciate you guys doing this, and hopefully we can get more people participated.
Sure.
What question?
Is there any way to offer incentives? I don't think we can make it mandatory, probably. But is there incentives that we can offer to help?
What do you guys know in the field? What happens?
So a lot of companies will offer a monetary incentive of some sort to their employees, whether that be a gift card or lowering their premiums, even a small amount, some sort of incentive for your employees to participate, that a lot of companies will get nearly 100% participation with a premium reduction.
We need to talk about that next go-around, probably.
Based on the BMI, the cholesterol, the blood sugar, each of those, some companies do where if you're under a certain mark, you get $10 off per thing.
I'm sure it can be structured a lot of different ways.
Yeah. That's just one of the ones, the more popular
right.
ones.
Yeah, and we can share plenty of examples of how they incentivize their employees.
Yeah.
Perfect. What other questions do we have? Anything? Anyone? Okay, well, listen, thank you for coming.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
Thanks for doing that.
Thank
and then,
see you next
year. Well, how often do we do this? We do this just once a year?
Once a year, yeah. And then your wellness committee does offer different things like the body composition in between that time to still do some sort of checkup of something.
Okay. Yeah,
thank
we'll
you.
Talk about it. Thank you so much.
Yeah,
thank you.
Yeah, have a good night. Okay, we're going to move on to B, Andrew Forney, D.A. Davidson, discuss the refunding highway allocation fund pledge bonds.
Thanks for having me back.
Yeah, thanks for coming back.
There's two different ones. I'll start. Keep going, son. Joan, did you get the check last week for the communication equipment? There you go. I should have just brought it with me. So I have the refunding analysis here as well as just a market update. Bill asked me last time about what interest rates had done. And so I think really that there's three bars of interest rate there. And the middle one is probably your best column. That shows you what the 10-year treasury, or excuse me, the 10-year AAA municipal bonds have done. We were talking about how it hit really kind of an all-time low again back right before the election. Then rates shot up, and then they've been kind of coming back down ever since. So, you know, when we started looking at the financing for the sheriff, I saw that you had these outstanding. Just wanted to kind of load them up because a lot of these are your 2012 highway bonds. Honestly, a couple months ago, this thing didn't look good at all. There wouldn't have been savings, but because rates have kind of bottomed, and even more so in the last couple weeks, if you look at that second page, your current interest rate is 3.16%. That's your average rate over the life of bonds. The average coupon, if we were to sell them today, we would expect to be 2.6%. And then the percentage savings you can see is almost 3% present value savings, and that's after we take out and account for all the cost of issuance. So although this isn't a huge savings dollar amount, it's $40,000 if you look at the next page, the gross savings.
Yeah, $39,000. Yeah.
So that's after all expenses are taken out. So really, we've been working with you guys for a while now on doing a lot of these NACO lease purchases, and so I just wanted to keep an eye on these and bring it up to your attention. You know, because these are pay and cancel right now, there's no advance, there's no additional costs associated with it. We just pay out the old ones, issue new ones at lower rates.
Save money. Okay, well, any questions for Andrew on that? Obviously, we appreciate you bringing that to our attention, and obviously, we'll discuss it and talk about it, and then we'll get back with you, obviously, with what we want to do on that.
I appreciate it.
Yep. All right. Any questions on that, guys, before we move on to C? Anyone? Okay. We're going to move on to C, then, to Andrew also discussing the bonding internet technology projects.
Have a similar numbers run here.
We like to save a tree sometimes.
It's obviously a pretty small project. Joan asked me last week to set up some numbers for this IT project, and so I did. For $65,000, really the placement agent fee on this is. We charge less than $500 to do something like this. The nice part is that a part of the fee does go to NACO as well that they use for their purposes. Your annual debt service is under $17,000. So if this is something you wanted to move forward with, we're happy to throw it together for you. We do think that the interest rate would be approximately 1.5%. So the total interest on the life of the project will be under $2,000. It's pretty cheap money.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Joan, explain to us what this is actually, what we're talking about, what this is for.
Dave,
you want to explain, if you don't mind, if you would, please, what this money is, what it's for, and where it's going, what it's going to do for everyone. I figured you showed up for a reason, because I was looking at the agenda. I'm thinking, why is he here?
Perfect timing. Coincidentally, Joan must have told me the exact time to be here.
Yep.
That was a pretty good guess. So what we did, this is kind of a follow-along from the analysis that we did originally. Come in and look at stuff, and this can be, we can do it in steps, or we can do it all together. So yep. I guess the two key things, or two key pieces that I'm going to talk about are the server piece and the switch piece. Because without those, the wireless really doesn't matter in the end. Wireless is a little piece of it, and you can do any part of the wireless you want to. So it's really three different pieces. One is the server piece, which is that's the main environment. That's the one that is the most critical to get that fixed and in shape is the most critical, number one. And then the switches is what all the other environment runs through. So those would be, if you're going to label them A, B, C, that's your list of what I would call the important part. The wireless itself sits aside. That's $17,000 of it. But that you could specifically target areas. So you wouldn't have to do all of that at one time. Let's say the courts area and some other areas would be a place you wanted to do right away. You could do that for $5,000 of that, as an example. You just have to look at it and what piece you would want to do and what's the most important. But in the end, you know, you're probably going to want it to be all wireless. You're not going to want to have it. But that's something that you can step into. Switches could be the same, a similar sort of setup. But
is it a money saver by doing everything at one time or not?
No.
No.
The advantage that you have is that you're going to be more efficient than you are today. Today is just you're gambling every day, kind of like the power thing that you, not to say that that was just an anomaly that happened all at the same time, kind of.
Right.
And the IT stuff, obviously the way it works and operates, you know, it's tied into the same sort of stuff too, right?
What's our server situation now? How many servers do we have?
So there are two physical servers today, and this would be the same two physical servers. And we would replicate those two so that you have failover. It can operate. You know,
what does that mean? So
let's say your main server, it's difficult to describe this. So there's two physical servers, but then they're divided into multiple different pieces. But if either one of the two servers drops, literally have a failover so the other one can be up and placing them at the same time.
Their age is at the age to be replaced. Mm-hmm. So right. That's what this is.
Yeah. So it would replace the two servers that we have.
It would, and what it would also do is make those redundant so that if you had the situation that you have and the setup that you have with your fibers, you could have that in two different locations, as an example. You could have one server sitting here, one server sitting at the
jail.
And have them replicating so that if one location is down to the other, it's a live failover, right? And together at the same time.
And RTI has offered us 3 years, no interest, financing, and I'm looking at the budget thinking, can we make it on what's remaining in my budget? That's why I asked Andy to quote 4 years. But if we pull the wireless, that 17,000 wireless back out and maybe do it at a little bit lesser amount, then maybe we would want to go with the 3-year no financing option.
The issue you have right now is that you have everyone has control of their own stuff. So, like the power is an example, right? When the power hit and surged some stuff and it got knocked out in lots of different places, that's an anomaly that happened that all of a sudden you have a lot more equipment that needs replaced. Some of the equipment is a lot older than the others. So once they're out of a warranty period, it's kind of like your car, right? When it gets above 100,000 miles or 150, you know, you hope that stuff doesn't go wrong, that you don't have to, you know, invest in it.
What is the useful life of these wireless servers?
So these servers are a 5-year period.
For sure. 5?
Yeah.
And how old are ours?
Outside of 5 years.
At least 5.
Yeah, it's not. It's outside of that for sure. And the switches are well beyond that time frame. But the switches we're going to put in actually, the switches that we're proposing would be a lot longer term because they have a lifetime warranty with the switches, and they're gig level switches, so there's really not any need to go to 10 gig after that. And just a long term process. But yeah, the one thing that Jonas kept asking was, well, is what I have left over for budget going to be enough? It's kind of like a gamble because I just got a. What was the quote I just did for the other day, right? I just got a message from someone, Tiffany Hansen. They just got one of their systems died, and they needed a new system. So it's just...
Everything we do is a gamble here.
It is, I know.
So you're on the school board, you know all about it.
Right. So if it's me, you have to invest in the infrastructure first.
Right.
Because your lowest cost is in all the other end-user devices. If you have the infrastructure in place, you can at least, you have a road to drive on, right? You have the equipment to build it on. You can go buy new computers, but if you don't fix the server and the switches, then it's not going to matter. That's my, the short version of how I know how to describe technology. You can go buy new computers, but if the servers go out, that's a lot bigger issue because that's where everything's going.
That's probably more down-to-earth analogy for some of us.
Absolutely.
Road analogy.
You know what I'm saying? You start talking roads and this and that, I mean, we're good. We can comprehend.
Roads and cars and rain?
Yeah, well. Okay, what other questions do we have for Dave? Anything? I know, obviously, this is just a discussion. Obviously, it's going on. We can't act on anything today. Obviously, we're going to have to do some research and put the pencil to a few things. If it's going to be a wireless thing, or if we're going to try to do a three-year, you know, along with you people, or if we're going to go through Andrew, or what we're going to do. So,
will we have to put this out for bids or not? We can do it.
The 65 is with the wireless throughout the building, or is or isn't? The 65 is. Okay.
And then, you know, so I'll give you the other bad news. So the other bad news is this isn't everything, right? So eventually you're going to have storage space things that come up because your data footprint keeps growing all the time. So there will be some sort of how and where do we go with data next? And I'm not saying that that's this year or next year, but that's a
down the road.
It's coming down the road, right?
Yep.
Another 3 years. You're definitely going to be trying to look about, okay, what are we going and doing with our data at that point? I just want to be realistic when I talk about it and not just, well, this is everything, and then you're done.
There's no such thing as being...
No, it's a process, right? So this kind of starts that ball rolling towards, okay, even if you did this in phases, like I said, you could do it that way. But as I know, things have changed quite a bit, even since the power...
Okay. Well, any questions for either Andrew or for Dave? If not, Joan will be contacting you folks, and we'll be figuring it out here in the next couple of weeks, and hopefully we'll be able to get on the agenda here probably either the 11th or the 25th of September. Sounds good.
Thank you very much for coming.
I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yep, appreciate it.
Thank you.
Okay, miscellaneous, Fred Kellogg, we got the Highway Superintendent Road Report.
August 13th through the 26th, 200 hours of road maintenance, 41 hours of tree debris and removal. Projects, 118 hours on 190th Street or Dakota City's road and mowing, 18 hours, gravel hauled, close to 1,500 tons, signs and barricades, 4 hours, road concerns, we have three, just grading, mostly washboards, Moody Avenue, Ironton, and Blyberg.
Any questions for Fred? Hey, do me a favor if you could and find out if it happened today or not, but we know that H Avenue off of Highway 20 South is always a little bit down by Emmett and them and that down there. I was down that way on Saturday evening, and there's a lot of wash. I'm surprised that no one's called on that.
Okay.
There's a lot of washboards on that road. So, yeah, south on H.
Yes.
If you would, please. See if it was done today. If not, time to hit it in the morning.
Yep.
Before the phone call happens. But yeah.
And usually Emmett keeps me
informed. I know he does. I guess I'm surprised he hasn't called.
Project on 190th doing all right?
Yes, it's done.
All right.
Yep. Do you have any time any of you have to take a tour of it?
All right.
Are they going to gate that, or will that be a public road?
What's that?
Are they going to gate that road? Will it be a...
I don't think they're going to gate it. They are going to put up some signage.
Okay.
It isn't clear right now if we're putting out the signings or not.
Okay.
But you know, it's just a private road, no trespassing.
Right.
Basically, what signage? I did talk to Jim Hubbard. He wanted signage up, and it isn't. So.
All right.
And the county shed's all completely done. The break room, your building, everything's all wrapped up, right?
Correct.
So if, I don't know if everybody's been out there to notice it or recognize it and see it, but if not, I suggest you guys get out there and take a peek at it. It's turned out very nice. Much needed building for the machinery and et cetera. So, yeah, just everything, the office, everything looks perfect. So thank you, Fred.
Thanks, Fred.
Okay, miscellaneous B, the board to award bid for motor grader. The bids opened on August 14th meeting and referred to the road committee. So I think everybody knows where the road committee stands. from the last meeting. I know that obviously we're going to take a vote on this today, and I personally hate to see us get behind the eight ball. I know it's money, but at the same time, it can be money we can spend on a repair. Wintertime's coming around when they get the most usage, hard usage, I should say, cold weather, and I just hate to see a machine that is worth 30, 50, I mean, depend upon who you talk to. One says 60, the other one says 30. I just hate to see a machine that we got to put a transmission or some rear end work or whatever the case may be, spend, you know, $20,000, $30,000 on a machine that ain't going to be worth the same dollar amount and let someone else capitalize on that. You know how I feel. Like I said, the money's budgeted, and yes, can we use the money for something else? Absolutely. Do we want to get behind the eight ball with all the machinery? We got two other machines coming up. We've been on a great cycle.
We actually skipped 1 year.
We did skip a year.
Yeah, I went out and talked to Fred about this.
11,000 hours, we know.
Never mind, I was not talking.
What's that, Ken? I didn't hear that.
He had a comment. No, I went out and I talked to Fred, and yeah, this one was up a year ago. I think we're on borrowed time with it. You know, I've seen it happen with the sheriff's office vehicles too, and I went out and I talked to the operator of this machine, and he said it's running, but it's just like everything else that gets up there. You know, do we gamble and hope it lasts, and then end up spending the same price we get for trading on it, or?
When your patrol car was closed, did you want a new patrol car? Operator's going to want.
I did, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, operators, they'll always want a new vehicle.
Yeah.
You know, it's just the nature of the beast.
You betcha.
But I've also seen us, in the past, you know, dump $15,000, $16,000, $17,000 into a patrol truck that we're able to trade off for $6,000.
Mm-hmm. And that's kind of my theory with Kevin and everyone here. You know, if that machine was worth, you know, $120,000, and you knew that, if you were going to get stuck with a rear end or an engine or whatever the case may be, where you're going to spend $30,000, $40,000, where, you know, I just think that with the money that it's worth, I don't know. Whatever discussion you guys want to go with, I think the 772, by talking to Bill and Fred, the John Deere 772, the 6x6 is the machine to go with. I don't know if anybody has any other discussion they want to talk about, but I'm going to make a motion to go with the John Deere 772, and I don't have the dollar amounts in front of me.
It's in your packet.
Is it in my packet?
Yeah,
I'm not even going to look for it.
The dollar amount on the 772 is $251,500. And we recommend that. The 672 has only been out a couple of years, I believe. We kind of looked into that before, and it's lower horsepower, less weight, something new. You know, you expect something new to maybe have some problems, maybe not. But for $13,000 more, you got a machine that's proven itself, been around a long time, this bigger machine.
Any idea why a machine, you know, a kind of a low-value machine that with that much time on it, there's $25,000 difference in the trade-in, you know, between the two companies?
Well, I think probably John Deere. I think we see it when we go to Cat, too, Marty. When we're trading Cat, I think the Cat guy put obviously more money in his Cat than the John Deere guy would put in the Cat, and this is just the opposite.
Mm-hmm. When you're talking those big figures like that, it's almost like if you go to like a Chevy or a Ford, and you might be maybe, you know, $3,000 to $5,000 difference in. But right now you're talking my language here, okay? But you know what I'm saying? Where you're talking, you know, a big unit that's worth, you know, $300,000 or $250,000, you know, I can see where the numbers can be different like that. But
you know, to me, it's the bottom line. You're talking about basically in the 770s, we've had several of them over the years. I think we've probably traded two or three times for John Deere's over the years. They've been around out there a long time. I think they're a good machine. They've proven themselves. We've always had either John Deere or Cat. We've never had in my time here anything except those two in New Holland. Komatsu, I think, makes one, but these are for sure the premier machines. Good service. We have dealers right here in Sioux City, and they've always provided good service to us. Yeah, and you know, I don't know the trade thing. It's just the bottom line, basically. It's still $14,000 cheaper than a Cat.
So you're going to second my motion?
Yeah, I second your motion.
All right. Will you call roll, please, Joan?
Kevin.
I wasn't cutting you off, Billy.
Yes.
Marty.
No.
Bill.
Yes.
Scott.
Yes.
Tony.
No. I want to explain to Scott why that I...
Why no? Yeah, go ahead, though. Yeah.
I'll tell you that. I think I really understand you guys that have a lot of experience on the equipment more than I do, but I personally feel that I do have a lot of toys in my own, but I buy out of my own money, not the company's money. When it comes to business, you know, I'm very conservative. I became an entrepreneur, you know, 35 years ago, and that's how I succeed in business, you know, kind of look around things that I don't necessarily need to be done at the present moment when you don't have the money, and that's exactly the position we're in right in the county. It's budgeted, but we still have to pay for it. But make the story short, I'm more conservative than you guys are, and that's fine. There's no hard feelings. I mean,
no. Hey, listen. At the end of the day, at the end of the day, there is no hard feelings. At the end of the day, we're still a board, and we're still all going to get along, and that's what sometimes that happens. So it doesn't happen very often with us, obviously. You know, I mean, but yeah, everybody has their own opinion. So okay, well, thank you, everyone, for however you looked at it. But anyways, motion carried. So Fred, congratulations. You got a new machine. Okay. All right. Anything else on that? If not, we're going to move on to C. We're going to approve resolution 17C-014 to approve the final allocation of levy authority for the Dakota County Ag Society.
We've got a copy in front of us here.
Yep. Everything's right in front of us here. So... looks like the general capital improvement of the levy is going to be at .007748 total. So I'll make a motion to approve the allocation levy for the Dakota County Ag Society of the 17C-014.
Second.
Okay, got a motion by myself and a second by Bill. Will you call roll, please, Joan?
Marty?
Yep.
Bill?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Tony?
Yes.
Kevin?
Yes.
Okay, D, approve the resolution 17C-015 to approve the final allocation of levy authority for the Dakota County Historical Society. And that is going to be the 1-6, that's 1-5, right? That's on the back side. I don't save in paper. It is going to be, levy is going to be 0.001846. I'll make a motion to approve resolution 17C-015. Second by Tony. So we got a motion by myself, second by Tony on 17C-015, the Historical Society. Will you call roll, please, Joan?
Bill?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Tony?
Yes.
Kevin?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep.
Okay, we got to approve resolution 17C-016 to approve the final allocation of levy authority for Dakota Covington Rural Fire. Okay, general, and then sinking fund, I guess. Between the two is, the 1-6 is 0.028429. I will make a motion to approve 17C-016.
Second.
Second by Kevin. So I got a motion by myself, second by Kevin. Will you call roll, please, Joan?
Scott?
Yes.
Tony?
Yes.
Kevin?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep.
Bill?
Yes.
Okay, we're going to move on to resolution 17C-017. That is the Emerson Rural Fire District. And the two general and the sinking fund is 0.028986 for resolution 17C-017. And I will make a motion to approve. Second by Tony. You got approval by myself and a motion by myself and approve, second by Tony. Will you call roll, please?
Tony?
Yes.
Kevin?
Losing
yes.
Marble.
Marty?
Yeah,
right.
Yep.
Bill?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes. Okay, lastly on there, we got the 17C-018, which is the Homer Rural Fire Department. Between the general and the sinking, we have 0.017314. for the final levy authority for 17C-018. I will make a motion to approve.
Second.
A second by Bill. So I got a motion by myself and a second by Bill on 17C-018. Call roll, please.
Kevin?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep.
Bill?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Tony?
Yes.
Okay, we're going to bypass H right now. We're going to move into mail emergency business. Any? And we're going to go to public comment. Is there any public? Oh, commissioner committee reports. My bad. I guess we got, I forgot four on four on. Yeah, number four. Three was miscellaneous. Four, commissioner committee reports. My bad.
Last 2 weeks ago, I went over to Norfolk to the Region 4 committee meeting, and it was...
How are those people getting along?
They're getting along good. There's 23 counties there, so it also gives me an opportunity to talk to commissioners from 23 different counties and kind of find out what their situations are. So
they come from all over the place.
They come, yeah, everything Valentine on the top of the park, all out to Cherry County. And the one thing that I found interesting is the 15 states in the United States that have the worst opiate addiction have gotten federal money to fight that. And you would think that Nebraska maybe wouldn't be in the top 15 states, but we're actually number 15.
We are.
In the nation. Nebraska is. And a lady there that has been doing a lot of work with people, treatment, and she said, you know, it's from 17 to 70. She said, from the guy that goes in to get his back work done and winds up with way too many oxycodone to, you know, street level.
Maybe they just eat a lot of muffins. Ain't there like poppy seeds and muffins?
I think you could eat a lot of poppy seeds and get in trouble. And then I ran out last week to the city hall there for Keep Northeast Nebraska. Beautiful deal, and all the fire departments are going to get together. They're doing a river cleanup, so all of the firemen are getting together and helping them do that. So, good. Sounds like a nice deal.
If they need to get invited, I should see if they need another vote. I wouldn't mind getting involved in that.
Yeah, it's the 19th of September. 19th of September, and they'd probably take it.
I'd love to try to keep Northeast Nebraska beautiful. That river needs a lot of cleanup, we know. I've been out on it probably six times this year, and it's just amazing how people throw their trash. And yeah, it's crazy. It's too bad it's that way, but something will never change. But if you can just pick up after. Any other commissioner committee reports? I probably have something, but I can't remember right now. Mail emergency business. Okay, now I'm going to go to public comments. Anybody from the public would like to stand up and say a few words?
Ron Harnett.
Yes.
About the road grader, is that for next year's budget, 2017?
The first payment will come out on next. It'll come out after the first of the year, correct?
So it'll be in this year's fiscal year.
Yes, budget. It'll be this. Yeah, the first payment will come in because our budget is July 1st to the end of June. So, and we'll make biannually payments on that.
So yes. There'll be two payments out of this new budget, out of it, one or two.
It all depends how it's structured.
Normally it's structured semi-annual.
Yeah, usually semi-annual.
That's one thing I'm kind of like concerned if we didn't have the budget, you know, figured out for
the budget is figured out. That money is budgeted for a new. We do have a budget for a new.
It was budgeted last year. We didn't do it. It's budgeted again this year.
So you kind of saved it for rainy day.
Well, rainy day, but the money. It ain't like we're just trying to pull the money out somewhere and trying to pay for this. The money is in the budget. And that's kind of what I said, Ronnie, was, you know, could we use the money elsewhere? Absolutely. You know, you could always use the money elsewhere. But do we want to get behind the eight ball another year with another machine? So, yeah. But the money is budgeted.
I've been on here when we've had sheriff deputies' cars go to iron. They've had 340,000 miles on them. And they have. They went right to the iron pile. You know, we replaced them with new ones, but they were 10 years old. I just don't think we can get in that position again, whether it be the deputies' cars or the road equipment. I refuse. I know it's a tough time to be doing that, but I refuse to do that again.
Right.
I've been involved in that. It's not a good thing.
Thank you, Ronnie. Any other public comment? Charlie?
Yeah, I'm just curious. All this money keeps coming up for work like you're talking about, maintaining everything. I've got a problem out there. Do you know what I'm talking about? For the last how many years, any one of you guys that I talked to, county has got no money. Well, where is all this money? $250,000 for new maintainer, that'll pay for 3/4 of what I want done out there. That'll help us out immensely. I mean, we're going way out of our road to get to this farm, and we can't get it fixed because you don't have any money. Well, somebody's got some money someplace. I'd just like to have an answer on that.
Okay, and I think everybody knows it's a bridge.
Yes.
Yeah, and I don't think Marty and Kevin probably are aware of it.
Marty knows where it's at. I think Bill does.
Yeah, we do.
And I know as well.
We're at the bridge.
You can't cross it with a pickup and be legal. It's that bad.
Could you explain just a little bit where it is? Because Kevin and I are new to the board.
Well,
so.
You know where old Goodwin used to be?
Yep.
Hey, Charlie, you want
it's
to
right down there where you cross the creek.
I don't. You're going to give me a little.
It's off of Oakdale, correct?
It's on Arnie Malik crosses it.
Okay.
Let's see.
Go past highway. Go way up by 12 up there.
There's Knox Boulevard.
It'd be down
Oakdale on the east side.
It'd be back in here, I think.
Yeah.
Right back in here.
Okay. Yeah, I know that one.
And we've got to pull everything out this minimum maintenance road that's like this and like this. And we can't get anything in there. And I've been after this for not quite a few years. And when I come to a meeting, you guys are spending all this money on equipment that $15,000 to fix it compared to $250,000 to get you by for. I guess I don't really agree with that. So that's my question, is how we can keep spending this kind of money. And every time I bring up my project, they don't have any money. And I don't know if that's the only one that's like that or not. But that one out there is pretty necessary, really. Somebody's going to go through it. I mean, it's not in good shape.
Why was I thinking it was over by Arnie's house, the bridge?
Well, it's just down from his house to the west.
Yeah, to the west. Exactly. Yeah, right off of Oakdale.
Yes.
It's off of Oakdale, right? Yeah, because that's right by the Wilmus. Didn't it separate a few
right
years
by the
back when
train tracks?
Yeah, right by the train tracks.
Yeah, just right.
Well, where you guys are pointing out, I don't think that was it, but it doesn't matter. But you come off of 20.
Just cross the railroad. If you cross, go off of Highway 20 and go off about probably 2 miles.
Yeah.
Then you cut back to your left and it'll go back.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. Towards you. You go down across the railroad tracks and it's right there.
Yeah, because then. Wilmus, doesn't Mike Wilmus farm out there on the other side?
Johnny Hogue.
Yeah, Hogue, right, whatever. But anyways, I just remember during the 14, all the water, was it 14 or when all the water came down and there was full of debris.
Oh, yeah, that's
and it divided, it pulled it away from the header, if I remember right.
And they had a maintainer sitting there as a dead man for about a month, 2 months. That's another question. I don't know whose maintainer that was, but they keep the end of the bridge from falling in. There was a high-priced maintainer sitting there using it as a dead man to keep the end of the bridge from falling in the creek.
Charlie, that was mine.
Well, that was yours?
Not
longer. I don't know what that one was. But anyway, that's kind of a project we got out there, and I think you guys...
Is the bridge closed now? What's the status of the bridge?
No, it's okay. Tonnage.
What's it for? 5 tons?
You can cross with a pickup and a car.
Mm. 18 tons.
18 tons?
It's
8 tons. Supposed to be 18 tons, isn't it, Charlie?
I don't think so.
No, it's 8.
I can't tell you for sure what it is, but we can't cross it anything we got.
Please, not a loaded semi, no.
You can't go across with our tractor and empty grain cart. We're overloaded.
Well, if it's 18 ton, you wouldn't be. But I don't know what the tonnage is.
It's not that much.
I can't answer that. I don't know.
I'd have to take another look at that for sure.
I'm going to probably swing out there.
That's a plank bridge, isn't it?
No, I don't what steel deck. Top it's got
on steel deck? Because we just did some work on it this summer. I know that
we put a new article on it, like Scott said back during the flood.
Some of the sheeting was off or something this spring.
But it's too narrow for everything. We can't. And the weight limit for this day and age, it's
everything's gotten big.
And if our inconvenience wasn't so bad, we've got a long ways to go. If we hauled to one dense side we got to the south, we're probably 4 or 5 miles on rough going out of our way. So
is it on either the 1 or the 6, or has it been looked at? I'm just catching it up. I'm just trying to catch it.
Well, see, there's a minimum maintenance road that goes in back there, and it goes behind the landfill and down by Lieber's and then by Arnie's house back in there is what it does. And what happened was when this bridge was out for X amount of months, we went in there and we graveled the minimum maintenance road, which is kind of a roller coaster hill that goes in. Mm-hmm. Bryce Anderson has a field out there, then it's the landfill. And it's not a bad road today, is it?
Well, as long as it's dry.
Right, right. Well, obviously, I mean, right, right. Yeah, I should take you out there, Marty, and show it to you.
Okay.
I should take you out there and show it to you. And we know that there's the 50-some bridges that the county has. We know that how many is in critical right now, and with the state, with 4 or 5. And I know there's probably a lot of bridges that need to be replaced. I don't know. Charlie, it's opinion, you know, which way you spend the money. You know, you probably think it's foolish for us to buy a new machine, you know, for $250,000 when we could probably throw another $150,000 at a project like that and put a bridge in, you know, a new bridge. You know, we look at it as it's functional.
I don't care if you guys, if you need the equipment, that's fine. But when I talk to one of you guys, don't tell me you're broke, don't have any money to do something like what I want done.
You know,
the money, there's got to be money there someplace. It looks to me like. That's the only thing I have a problem with.
Well, I think the county is on a tight budget, yes. And when we look at all the different things that we need to do to make the county run, as a business, you know, that's what we're looking at. So we would love to be able to have some bridge money and to replace some bridges so we don't have these type of conversations, believe me. And after the state, you know, cut things back off, what year was that, Bill? Probably 9-10? You know, 09-10 is when they started taking, you know, a lot of the monies away from the counties.
But even though when you put those bridges, on one bridge south up there, they spend so much excess money, looks to me like. Now, maybe the Fed says you have to. This bridge is built on a slight curve, even. Instead of a county road sticking us across the creek, now they put it on a slight bend. It's even sloped. Hell, you could cross that bridge at 150 miles an hour.
That is, where's that at? I want to do it.
Well, it's just going up that gravel road and you go right across it. Up past Tony's Bridge.
They did the same thing south of Homer. Remember that fiasco?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. There's a little bit of a curve to it.
Yeah, that was just a complete... And it was a federal...
They spent so much excess money on those kind of things.
Yeah, that was ridiculous. And I know that one's built the same way. About 10 eggs.
I don't know.
Certain engineer designed those too.
It's been a while, but anyway.
Thank you, Charlie. Yeah, I appreciate you stepping up into your concern. Any other public comment? Okay, if not, we are going to take our tour of the Dakota City Fire Hall on 16th Street, and then we will adjourn over there. Thanks, everyone. Thank you. Have a good night. Have a good night. Thank you. Yep, have a good night.
Did you ever see that bridge, Marty? South Homer.
Oh yeah.
The first go around though.
Yeah, I did, because my dad had a place out on that road.
Yeah, it was like 30.
It was probably 35.